boy.
I know them dudes you mess with usually be frontin'. All I gotta do is call his name, he coming. No taxin', all action, what you need from him. He'll provide anything you need, if you just believe. All it takes is faith the size of a mustard seed. And you can reach any goal that you trying to reach. My plug love stretch far away beyond the streets. No petty-ish, my plug on that heavy-ish. Think Sosa mixed with Ox off that belly-ish. Yeah, I know you like the sound of that. Been searching around for that, you on my head, trying to see where I found him at. It was early one Sunday morning. I was down on my luck and plenty storms kept forming. Just trying to find a way. I prayed to God to see better days. Then he told me that he got me, I'm forever straight.
You look around, you need that love. Got many blessings and they from him above. Because I quit hustling, slagging them drugs. You ask why? Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up.
Now I've been getting up with God about a year straight. And everything been smooth, yeah, I've been straight. He ain't never told me no, maybe just wait. And he always been on time, he never been late. Sometimes when I be tripping and get impatient, he made me realize I'm winning cause of his greatness. He said his grace and his mercy endure forever. If I repent of all my sins, he'll forgive whatever that I did in my past, knowing it wasn't right. If I turn away from sin, he'll give me a new life. So I tried him out, it only made sense. Now I'm on the ground for Jesus and I can't quit. The devil want me to fall and yeah, I may slip. But God wrapped his arms around me so I can't trip. Now when I go out in the world, his blessings are with me so I can let my light shine. That's just the God in me and you can be the same way. And have the same faith, but you gotta change. Cause me, I ain't the same Dre. It won't happen overnight or all in one day. But he's able by the children, man, my God don't play. So is you down with it? What you trying to do? You wanna call him up? Well, this is how you do it. Get down on your knees and keep your head to the sky. Make a promise to the world that you gon' serve God.
You look around, you need that love. Got many blessings and they from him above. Because I quit hustling, slagging them drugs. You ask why? Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up.
It's your boy, Ariel Jones.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is another training day, giving honor to Christ who is the head of my life. You know, I'm just having a little technical difficulties here. Amen. Giving honor to Christ who's the head of my life. Amen. To giving honor to Pastor O, my producer, and to all the saints and friends listening to here and there. And, amen. Another new friend that I encountered this weekend from New York City. I say praise the Lord. I thank God for this opportunity to be able to share the word, his word, with you. Amen. It's a beautiful thing. I mean, the age that we live in, that, you know, a few months ago, my pastor concluded a teaching on the book of Acts. And, you know, you thought about all the things that the apostles went through, amen, to get the message out compared to what we don't have to go through to get the message out. You know, I just thank God for it. Let us go before the throne of God. Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you. We do praise you. We do give you honor. We do bless your name because you are worthy of all praise and honor. We thank you for this day. This is a day that you have made. Amen. It wasn't manufactured here on earth, but it was manufactured on heaven. And we thank you for it, that you bless us to be able to see it and to hear it and to enjoy it. Amen. And to see it because it's a revelation. amen, of the greatness of your power. Father God, we're asking that you bless us right now. Bless each and everyone here with the spirit of wisdom and a deeper revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Continue to bless the eyes of our understanding to be more enlightened, that we would more better understand what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance that you have in the saints, and the great and exceeding power that you've made available for those of us that submit and obey you, Lord. Strengthen us with might in our inner man, Lord. Bless us to have a full understanding, counting us with a revelation of love from your perspective, the depth of it, Lord, the height of it, the width of it. Father God, we're asking that you bless us with the knowledge of your will and give us the strength and courage to carry it out so that we can walk upright before you, being fruitful in every good work, and bless us, Lord, to grow in the knowledge of you. Father God, again, we ask that you would touch the heart of the bereaved, amen, to bless them, to let them know that this is just the first phase of life, and that those of us that have friends and loved ones in you, in Christ, that we will yet have another day with them coming as each day passes. And so, Father God, we're asking that you would strengthen them with might, encourage them, that you would wipe the tears from their eyes and bless them to know, amen, that those that have died in Christ are in excellent hands and care. Father, I ask you, bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people that which you would have me to share with them, and I want it to be all of you and none of me, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen, praise God, hallelujah. I've met people, this is more so than ever we should be reaching out. You know, as Paul said, one planteth, another watereth, and God giveth the increase. We should always be prepared, as Peter has said, to give every man an answer of the hope that lieth in us. Therefore, it requires that we study the Word of God. Because, you know, it's sad when Christians can't explain Christianity. Particularly, you know, a new Christian, I understand. But when you've been a Christian 40 years and you still can't explain it, you know, there's something wrong. There's a disconnect there. See, that's I would say, being selfishly religious, because our lives is about giving to others. That's what the primary objective. Jesus said, when he talked about loving God and loving your neighbor, that's giving. That's giving. That's giving and with no expectation that whether or not they're going to give you anything. It's, you're giving because God gave you the ability to give. That's the thing. You know, and for those that are new, God's definition of love is in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verses 4 through 8. You got to really read that and understand that, because every place, particularly in the New Testament, where you see the word love, that's what it's talking about. Even though you get a four-letter word, the broke-down definition is in 1 Corinthians. And that's the motivation for living this life. You know, when you walk in love, when that's the generation, remember God is love. When you're walking in love, you're walking in God. You're walking in love, you're walking in God. When you're being godly, you're being loving, you're letting God reign in your hearts and letting him have his way, letting him use you to minister to others. And it's a lot of criteria, a lot of different things we do, and it's a blessing. It will bless your life. Amen. Those are some of the key factors. For those that haven't, and you visit the website, you'll see I have a series of prayer failures, 7 reasons for prayer failure. Some of the basic, the more serious, or the most, the ones that really matter. You know, there's a lot of reasons, but they all connect to them 7. You know, I've been at this for almost 45 years, and I've listened to some of the greatest teachers. You know, like I would listen to people, I would see people on Facebook, and they'd be trying to nail or be railing on preachers that they call God prosperity preachers, but none of them have ever listened to the entire 6 CD set. It's a little half-hour segment, think they know everything they was talking about, because one of the things I find in those 6 CDs, they will tell you what a fail. Deuteronomy 28, it's clearly 28:1 said, if you hearken, if you do what God say, that's the simplicity of it. You know, if you do what I say do, you know, if you're not going, you know, nobody go, God ain't going to reward bad behavior. I mean, it wouldn't have, he wouldn't have had to send his son. So again, we're going to be picking up here on where I left off. We're getting more detailed into prayer. And it's really tremendous, because I have a phrase that I use, and it's called God. Prayer is God is God trusting you with His power. Prayer is God trusting you with His power. I mean, think about that. You know, we're going to be going to back to 1 Timothy chapter 2. And reading from there, and try to get a fix on the range of the authority of us as a believer. You know, I mean, we're talking tremendous amount of power here. And I just want to say for those that are the first time watching, amen. Like I said, check out some of my other videos, particularly the one that's number one, training day number one, because you're going to understand the basis that I'm talking about, because it's really amazing. The late Chuck Misler, he left some videos on, but one particularly, Beyond Time and Space, I believe it's called, or Space and Time, he gets way out there. And I know what happened when you go way out there with the Christian. They like, what are you talking about? But see, this is the whole thing about God. You have to pursue after Him. See, the same way people pursue after other objectives. You know, like I said, nobody becomes a professional athlete by accident. You know, they don't do that by sitting on the couch watching it on TV. They become active. They train when it ain't no training. And that's where we should be. And the reasoning, now what my training day foundation is that this is preparation for part two. When Jesus comes back and reign on the earth, that's a dramatic change that's going to occur. See, and from what I'm looking at in the Bible, it's two races of people, not just saints and sinners, but, well, no longer it won't be saints and sinners. It'll be saints and saints, but different levels. Now, you know, now, like I say, I got an email address you can send stuff to, 7trainingday@gmail.com, you know, if you see something in the Bible, because what's going to happen is we're going to get changed at the rapture, but the ones that remain on the earth aren't. Now, their status during the 1,000 years, there are going to be people born during the millennial reign, but not from us. See, so we're going to participate. The Bible says in Revelation 20:6 that we're going to reign with Him for 1,000 years. But your status, listen at this. This is in 1 John. It says, 1 John 3:2, it said, "Dear friends, now we are the children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself or herself just as He is pure." You know, and that's really focused on, as Jesus said, I only say what my Father said. And that's challenging. That's challenging. Especially for those of us that are married. But you grow. You find that you have to bring your mind and your heart into subjection to that, to the point that it you know, you're not placating God. You know, you're not patronizing God. You're letting Him rule in your heart. Now, and that's where the seat of power is. See, this is the reason why a lot of people probably don't pray. Sadly, when I talk to people, when I talk to men of God that have really such, they don't give it the reverence, the respect that it body of believers. It should be, you know, it should be a basic format of entry level training for every new believer. How to pray. I mean, in depth. I'm praying that these videos become part of the training series that they can, you know, give them to their new believers so they can learn, because it's going to impact their life. A lot of people leave or backslide because they don't realize what they really have. In what is it, 2 Corinthians 4:7, I believe it said this precious gift in an earthen vessel. We don't know how precious it is, but prayer gives you an opportunity to experience how precious it is. It gives you an opportunity to utilize the power of God and get results. It's tremendous. You know, we just had the election, and I don't care who. I'm glad that the president, change of the president ain't changed the amount of prayer that I do. Okay? It's very few things. As a matter of fact, like I said, with me, I want to pray for any president to be successful, because if he's successful, I'm successful. The Bible, we're going to read and see that that's been the case even when they couldn't vote. And then my other scripture for training day is, it says, but our citizenship is in heaven, okay? This is not a cliche, okay? When you became in Christ, you went from a different, your whole, there was a change that came about that's beyond the human imagination. So now your home now has been relocated. It's in heaven. It says that here, okay? And it says, we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Now, if you go back and you look at some of the things, particularly the things that Jesus did after his resurrection that he did not do. For one, Jesus didn't walk through no walls before his resurrection. When he visited disciples, he just walked through the wall. He didn't blow a hole in it. He just walked through. There's an interaction there. And unless you understand really molecular science, I don't want your mind to get tangled with that fact. It's the fact, just think about it. The speed of calculation of the interaction of his bodily material with that cement that had to occur in that short amount of time, it's just off the charts, off the charts. Now, when a person has that kind of power, if misused, then that's a tremendously destructive force, okay? Imagine what some of these crooks would do if they could just walk in the bank through the wall and walk out with the money. You know, of course, it wouldn't be no use for having banks. But see, again, what makes a person, what made Jesus manage himself with that type of power? What makes them do that? Love. And it seems that it's amazing. That is the key factor right there. Love. Love for God. I'm not going to that. You know, God used that when he stopped me from being a crook. Okay, you know, because, one, I didn't know, you know, when I began to realize, I don't know, I picked up on that fast that the body of Christ was the body of Christ. It was a lot of things I had to learn, but I picked up on that fast that if I'm out there stealing from a company and they in Christ, I'm stealing from God. So I had to get that up, you know. But then it's like, why would you want to hurt them? Why would you want to aggravate their life? See all the interaction in this? This is why. Now, we're going to get to this. So, again, we're talking tremendous power. I saw something today, and some of y'all that's been around in the Word, when Jacob, back in the book of Genesis, wrestled with an angel, with the angel of the Lord, you know, and overpowered him. That tells you that the level of power we got, but that's a little deep right now, and I'm just now unwrapping that because God wants me to, because I'm going to later on get around to the authority that we have. Okay? So the bottom line is this. Outside of your body, you have a tremendous amount of power. If you were outside of your body, and the only thing that God is going to utilize to regulate how you use that power during the millennial reign is two things, your love for him and your love for his creation. That's it. You know? And this life trains you for that. And that's why I call it training day. Because you go back and you read these scriptures and you go to God and ask him about it, and he'll open it up, and I'm going to tell you, he'll crack it open, and you'll be sitting up in your bed in the middle of the night, and if you sit up all night, when you do go to rest, pray and ask God to give you rest. God can give you more rest in 15 minutes than you get struggling at 8 hours of sleep. I've been there, done that. You know, that's how he killed my excuses when he would get me up at 3 o'clock in the morning to pray. I still do it. You know, except now I don't have to get up and go nowhere. But even then, and I would ask for rest, and I would wake up rested, with, you know, be the missed 2 hours of sleep during the night. But see, this is, like I said, so don't shortchange God. And this is the criticalness. See, when you're reading through the Old Testament, God is very verbal in the Old Testament. And when you hear him say, "I am the Lord," you know, Numbers 23:19, he said, "I'm not a man that I should lie, nor the son of man." He said it, he going to do it. So we're talking about prayer here, and I'm going to try to keep this simple. Well, I'm simple. Actually, I have an order from my pastor to keep it simple. I think I'll be keeping it simple, you know. So I'm reading from 1 Timothy, NIV version. Paul is talking to Timothy, his son in the gospel. "I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercessions, thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority." So in our case, that would include the president, the governor, the mayor, and the police, and all them, "that we may live a peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. That is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." Okay. Now, one of the things we can be confident in, and we're going to talk about that, and that is if you pray. See, this is when you're praying what God wants you to pray in his word, the one thing you can be sure is going to come to pass because it's his word. And we read in Isaiah, we're gonna read that because I want you to get this because I'm really conscious of the new people. I mean, God has been blessing. I tell you, I really am just great. I'm going to Isaiah chapter 55. And it's, for me and for most of us, this is a relatively familiar scripture. And I want to read verse 9 and 10 and 9, 10, and 11. It says that the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Woo-hoo, that's saying something. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. If God said it, so this is the math you have to get on that. When you pray the word of God, see, God, everything that's being done now in the earth is being done through man. Everything God does is through man. Everything Satan does is through man. You know, what God does that isn't through man is done through angels or man. What Satan does that isn't done through man is done with his kind, and we call them demons, which are fallen angels, against man. And the reason they exist, again, is for us to get a real measure of the power that we have, there's going to be an opposition. And for us to see the exercise and the authority in overcoming them. See, that because God, in and of himself, can't lie, can't deceive, he can't do evil. It's just not in his nature at all. Amen. And so anybody else, that every created being, has that tendency, that potential to do wrong. That's, like I said, with God, it's impossible for him to lie. It's called an immutable fact. It's impossible for him to lie. Whatever he say going to come to pass. And he have no intention of deception. But he also realized that who the people he created, mankind, is distinguishedly different, even higher than angels. And to comprehend that level of power, you could go to universities all day long. It's evident by what they produce that they don't understand this power. You know, people think getting rich is the ultimacy of life. What? So you can pay your bills on time? And you know, I pay my bills on time. You don't need $1 billion to do that. The fact that they can allow, somebody has to provoke them to want to take, I don't even want to say it, but they, you know, I know they don't realize what they're dealing with. That ain't their money. And Denzel Washington said something that stuck in my mind, and it was, you've never seen a U-Haul attached to a casket at a funeral. It ain't yours. You're just a temporary manager of it while you're here, okay? But, again, the true riches, the true riches, as Jesus said in Luke 16, is being able to accept the power of God, because you can always get what you need. That's what you see through the Old Testament. You see them getting what they need, what they want in the Old Testament. You know, the Bible said Abraham was very rich, very rich. So it ain't a problem of being rich. Okay, he's talked about in Luke chapter 16, but he's in heaven, and the other guy, Dives, ain't. And they were both rich. But it's how they managed it. Now I'm going to hit some people in on there and hammer some people on their toes. It's a lot of rich Christians. They have the Holy Spirit. Every Christian have the Holy Spirit. That's needed to go before the throne of God. You have a covenant with the Lord God, Jehovah, the only God that exists. And he is his power that we are allowed to use in prayer. And even if we split the numbers, a well-known historian that I know of said that 85% of Christians don't read the Bible and pray. I say 98. So if we put the number in the middle, we're going to come up at about 92%. Why? That's an assignment we have. You go in first. See, again, you got to get away from reading the Bible as a book of cliches and seeing the magnitude of what God is. This is the Word of God. This isn't a book contrived by man. Anybody that has read it from cover to cover, they know man, and man by himself would have, it would have been a whole lot of changes in there. There's a lot of things would have been left out. They're talking about the books that are left out. Man, some stuff they should have left out, you know. But it, again, think about it. I mean, I can't keep going on. You got to watch some of the other videos, because down the line I'm going to talk some more about some different things. So now we're going to go back here to Timothy, because we're talking about. And I want to reread Timothy, because there's a word I want to get into, but I don't want people to get confused over that word, and it's called supplication. And again, it says in Timothy, he says in the King James, it says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, giving of thanks. You know, Paul is reemphasizing the significance of prayer and the types of prayer, okay? But what I want you to understand is this is something I had an experience once years ago, and that was one of my regular battles I was having with the IRS, you know, over income taxes, which I ain't gonna even mention that. they finding out now I was right. You know, I'm not a prophet. Let me make this clear. I am not. See, John 16:13 said the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. But then there's a reason for it. It's not just events. There's a reason for it, and it can be prevented if repentance occur, as it did in the book of Jonah. But in this case, that ain't happened. So you know, I told them that if they don't change, I'm gonna be straight up. I told them I wrote the director of the IRS and said I wrote the head of the Federal Reserve. I mean, I wrote some all the senators God gave me. Told them, I'm saying, look, if y'all don't change, eliminate the personal income tax. This was gonna happen. This was in 2010, because my name is on the nut list in Washington D.C. That's what they do with crazy letters. I said, listen, you're going to have a situation where the debt in the United States is going to be seven times what you take in. Every dollar you take in, you're going to lose seven. And right now, today, here we are in 2020, and guess what? They take in $3 trillion a year, and now they owe 25. It's going higher, okay? See, but this is happening in every nation around the world. And I base that on Ezra 7:23-25, okay? But the point of the matter is, I don't want to get too deep off into that. The point of the matter is this is the type of relationship we have with God. Now we come back to what goes on. Now, how do you deal with that? I done talked to them repeatedly, you know, and I'm not the only one. It's a group of about 15,000. So it's not just me, okay? Like I said, so when God bring that many people together, the IRS was even served a subpoena to come to court. So, but anyway, and they never showed up. All right, but then look at this situation here. Back here, during this time, I believe the Roman government pretty much, as they say, Rome ruled the world. So this is what he say do. We got a new president. It don't matter, because he's saying right here, Richard, I want you to make supplication. This is what I was talking about with the IRS situation. I was gotten into battle with them, and they said I owed them $10,000. So I'm going to God, and I mean, it got down to the lane. You know, they get nasty with their love. They're going to take your teeth, and they're going to, you know, they're going to take your dreams and all your hopes and all that stuff. And so I'm going to God, please, God, oh, you gotta do something, Lord. It's getting tight. Then I don't have many visions. I don't know if you call it just a vision or a dream, but it was a lie. And I could hear a baseball game. And it's like I was sitting in the section in the ballpark where you shaded, and you could see out there, and you could see right down that home plate. And in front of me was this figure, two figures, right? I couldn't see no face, right? And he turned around, and basically I seen this, like, mean eyes, like my mother used to look when I did something stupid. But I heard this clearly. Talk to me like I am God. And that impressed me so that it's like, okay, all right. So I redressed, repented, forgive me, Lord. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I am talking to the Lord God Jehovah, to whom there is no other, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God to nothing is impossible. I have a situation. Then I went on and laid out the situation. So when you're talking about supplication, you want to put your emphasis on the authority that's been granted to you by God through the blood of Jesus. This is not begging God, pleading with God, hoping he will hear you, like I hear. I understand they have genuine thoughts. Hear our prayer. God is omnipresent. And you got Holy Spirit on the inside of you. You can whisper and he can hear you. I know because I do it every night. When my wife says I'll be praying louder, but, you know. But he can hear you. I do not. When my first prayer, and in a different time, but my first prayer always begin with praise. Why? Because I'm entering into his gates with thanksgiving, entering his courts with praise. I might have that backwards, but it's the same thing anyhow. In other words, I'm boldly going before the throne. That's what he's talking about. Come boldly. Don't please God. That don't impress. Tears of joy will impress him when you're happy. But tears of pain like that when you need something? No. Talk to him confidently, boldly. See, without, there's no doubt in your mind. There's no question in your mind. See? Now, like I say, prayers. You know, I mean, it's if you go back and you play this over and you listen to when I first prayed, amen, I shared a few weeks ago about what I call the Ephesian prayer, but it's actually Ephesians and Colossians, you know, combined together, praying the word of God. That's your confidence. Because that's what he's talking about in Isaiah. So when your mouth open, Jesus is the head. We connected. We the body. So when we pray, we are praying the word, God's word going out of his mouth through us to do what he sent it to do. It's that simple. And it's amazing that we still, as a people, sadly, don't do that enough. It's supposed to be done every day. Okay? It's supposed to be done every day. You know, God give us this. Where my list at? I got to get my list here. I got to get another. You know, it's something. Listen at this. It's 1 Samuel 12:23. Okay. You know, like I said, we have tremendous power. So what God is watching right now is not what's going on in Washington, but with his people. Because he can, whatever they have planned, you know, one of my biggest concerns and a lot of people's concerns that didn't like Trump, that may support him, was all over the issue and how he responded to Israel. And for the new people, you have to understand that God made a covenant agreement with Israel that's actually connected to us. But that covenant stands. And if you read in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, God said he will curse anybody to curse Israel, and he'll bless anybody to bless Israel. And that's tremendously powerful because it stands today. You look at any nation, case in point, the British Empire. There used to be a saying that the sun never went down on the British Empire because they had, like Rome, conquered the world. And as a result, then back in, I don't know, the 17th, 18th century, they started mistreating the Jews, and now they're a little island. I mean, you could pick any major empire that has collapsed, and that is the reason behind it. When you stand with Israel, you know what? It ain't personal. You may not like them. I don't know why, because if you don't like anybody, you take a good chance and risk, you know, you go neutral. Don't dislike nobody because you risk going to hell. So I'm gonna they say they don't talk enough about that now. It's serious. That is the issue. See, because again, rather than us compromise with individuals that are against God's will, okay, as a nation, okay, like the Arab Brethren. Now, those are also descendants of Abraham, but they are not the promised descendants, period. No matter. And it wouldn't matter. So to really minimize having to deal with a judgment or opening the door for Satan to come against this country, you know, they put up with a president that was in agreement with that. And the other issues, the other God, it's the God issues. But it all that doesn't matter. We have a president, okay? I don't think it'll be anyway. We have a president, and it doesn't matter, because if enough of us pray, as we will see in the book of Daniel, if enough of us pray that, and that's Daniel chapter 4, because I doubt that I'm gonna get there today. But there was a king, Nebuchadnezzar was, he was as crazy as they get, crazier. We've never had. He was crazier than Adolf Hitler. Okay. But when Daniel got through Daniel and the lion den, through Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into a furnace of fire, all because they would not worship him, okay? And as a result, but when they got through praying for him, despite all that, he ended up on his knees praying before God. Now, that's in the Bible for us to know how God gets things done when his people, who are called by his name, will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways. See, people don't like to do the criteria. They don't like to do the criteria. It always, all the promises of God have criteria. There's no, you're going to do, there's no democracy here. This is a theocracy. You have to think of yourself as being in the kingdom of God. This is not a religion. You are in the kingdom, and I use a capital K whenever I refer to the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God, not the kingdom of man. Kingdom of man seat is in Washington, D.C. We talking about the kingdom of God. We can override anything, because who are we fighting against? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're dealing with a different warfare. We're dealing with a different warfare. See? So we are, what am I doing here? 12:23. Now, this is Samuel, the prophet of God. And this is, again, related to James 4:17, I believe. And it says, if any man know to do right, do it. Doesn't, don't do it. To him it is sin. And, you know, it's always more than one place in the Bible. And this is Samuel. And it's a tremendous story about Samuel, a lot of different aspects about that. But anyway, he says, I'm going to read verse 282 because I love it when he mentions God. For the sake of his great name, the Lord, and just as an FYI, everywhere in the Bible where you see the Lord in all capitals, that's the name Yahweh, Jehovah, as we call it now. Hebrew language don't have no J's. But anyway, the Lord will not reject his people because the Lord was pleased to make you his own. That's the reality now. Okay. As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. And I will teach you the way that is good and right. Then the other criteria, be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. That means all the intellectual capability you can muster up. Consider what great things he has done for you. Okay? Now that's see, so I'm saying that it's not only that we have to pray, but it shouldn't be that we have to pray. I mean, if you're in Christ, all you got to do, if you talk to people that have no clue who he is, you know, Jesus said, no man come unto the Father except I draw him. He said that to be selected. Talk about being chosen. Think about the people that you have met and talked to that do not have a clear revelation on who Jesus is. This is not something you get. You can read. Listen, people say I'm picking on the Pope. I'm not picking on him because I pray for him. I pray for him 7 days a week because I want to see the glory of God. That's why. That's what my motivation is. And I understand, for me to pray for everybody and anybody at any time, there has to be a continuity of love. It's a challenge. I ain't going to tell you this is easy, because, again, if I have to love, it's something, because you think I don't want to throw some rocks at some people. I had to bring that into subjection. This is why we go through this training day process. And I don't want to discourage you. I'm going to say this, saints, especially you new saints, never quit. If you miss it and you fall, you trip, dust yourself off. Say, Lord, forgive me. And get on with it, because God, he's like, okay, done. And when God say done, because your knee's still bleeding because you was down, that ain't mean God didn't, because he didn't heal him instantly. That don't mean that he didn't forgive you. He did what he said he would do. But trust me, I've been there. I know this. I'm telling you. See, so I know this is not. But again, the reason, this is my message, the reasoning is because you do have power. This is not religious ritualism. Because the magnitude of what John said, we don't know. We don't know. But when he appears, it does not yet appear what we are. But we know it's going to be changed. I know all the folks that done passed on right now. In these labs, the passed on, all the saints that done passed, when they got over there and they got free of this flesh, then the reality of why hit them. See, I picked this up from a man that was here from 1900 to 1940. You know, he was like Paul. He was going in and out of Chinese prison simply because he wanted to live and not worship the emperor of China. You know, you're like, you know what, I'll pray for you. I'll serve you. I'll be a blessing. I'll serve you food. Won't poison you. I won't try to kill you. I'm not going to start a war against you. I'm going to work, and I'm going to do my job. I'm going to obey all the laws, but I'm not worshiping you. And so he got thrown in jail. And every time he get out, he do a message. He got one, they post him on YouTube, one that's on there now, Spiritual Man, and it's almost, like most messages, it's almost identical to Expect the Christian Life. You have to listen. See, if you listen religiously, you will get religion. It's that simple. You know, if you want revelation, you have to listen for revelation. Never read your Bible without praying. Even when you listen to a message like this, stop it and pray. Because, God, I be listening to these messages, and I'm like, Lord, you something else. Because I'm going to tell you, I be hearing stuff I didn't know nothing about. It be new to me. I'm like, wow, let me take notes here. Because this is the point of that prayer. See, we carry prayer. We are learning. See, I'm not doing this. This don't give me points with God. I can't listen. The Renaissance got a room, the presidential suite, I think, now costs $100,000 a night. And where we going, if you leave here, your mansion in heaven costs more than that. You know, and just as an FYI, and then they're going to have mansions, mine's going to be in the middle of a body of water somewhere. So, so have a glass bottom. So, anyway, see, we're talking something awesome. When you read the Bible, and you see it, that's why you get these college professors say it sounds like a fantasy, you know, like make-believe. They can't grasp this. This is true awesome. I'm telling you, there are things in the Bible. There's animals talking in the Bible, in the book of Numbers, chapter 22. It's just too much stuff in there beyond us. And God is trying to get us past this human thinking. We want toys all the time. That's all it's about, toys. They even call it toys. People got, you know, cars. They spend. That's all good, because he said he's given us all things to enjoy, but not to worship, not to use to exalt ourselves. I got it. You ain't got it. I don't care. I don't really care. You know, like I said, I know a billionaire that had to pay to get his prostate cancer treated, had to suck in them chemicals that they feed you radiation. We make bombs out of radiation. I put the word on it because I've been taught the criteria, and this is what I'm trying to share with you. I've been through the battle, see? And people that know me closely, no, I ain't perfect, but I repent quickly. I put it like this. That's how my perfection. I get perfected right back in order quickly. When I'm out, I correct it. God say, you wrong, I'm wrong. Okay. I learned that from David. See? Now, okay, let's go back to Timothy. I want you to understand what's going on, because God is going to be watching. He's not going to be watching whatever the president does. My pastor made a statement one day that was one of them lock your lips, don't say nothing until God give you a revelation statements, and that is every failure is a prayer failure. You know, when I first heard it, you know, that word every caught my attention. Because I'm immediately at the mind at the time, I was thinking about the goofiness going on in the government, and I wanted to say what they got to do with me. But I know if the government fails, if the government doesn't do what it want to do, the reason, now I never had prayer in school, okay? We had the Pledge of Allegiance. I don't call that a prayer. This is a Pledge of Allegiance to a flag, which my personal opinion, I thought it was, as a child, I thought it was idolatrous, because you're talking about Pledge of Allegiance to a flag. I would have preferred to say Pledge of Allegiance to the country, to my fellow Americans, okay? But that's neither here nor there, okay? So, but the prayer is out of the homes. Now, that's where I did see prayer. I saw a mother that if you got up at 6 o'clock in the morning, she was beside the bed, okay? And I knew that there were times at noon, because I remember growing up as a child before I went to school, where she was and where's mama. Look at the clock, 12 o'clock, mom's praying. Now, she got that from some of the early teachers, Rex Humbard, Oral Roberts, and all them guys. It's still, their teachings are still coming along now. That was the early part of, quote, the Word of Faith movement. See, it ain't about a church. It's the Word of Faith movement. In other words, God was saying, take my word, explain it to the people. And that's when they began it. And that's when you had the miracle outbreak. And now you're going to see an even greater outbreak. All right. So, I hear Timothy, I exalt therefore, first of all, supplications. Be serious, prayers. We're not going to get in all the different types of prayers on this today, because it's 14 intercessions. Now, I just want to say this about it. This is what the royal priesthood does. This is what you do. You're authorized to do that. Nobody that is saved got saved of their own volition. They got saved because somebody interceded. It was a family member, a friend, a neighbor, somebody they didn't even know. Okay? They didn't even know them, but you have to have authority. You have to have a covenant with God. You have to be right with God. Them 7 points that I laid out, okay? All that's required, because back during the Old Testament days, they didn't go before God with no stuff on them. They had to be right with God, okay? Intercession, that's a powerful, because like I say, right now, you know, I have to go with what is said. I mean, or what is being said. The country, right now, the status of the country, all this drama that's going on, that is a spiritual warfare. We take Satan's gang out. We take away the motivation from the rest of the folk. It's on us now. It's on us. We the one who they like the devil. They like that little fake authority that he gave them. But we can do that. We can introduce the fear of God through prayer. So when you see them on TV, you need to pray. When you see Antifa on TV,
pray. Just pray at the TV. Let God do the work. Pray that God give them the spirit of wisdom and the revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. A lot of them, some of them may even say they know him, but if you out there clowning and going against God illegally and committing acts of violence, yeah, you know what, you they might patronize God. But that's because they don't have a revelation. They don't have a revelation. And anybody with children know there's a love for children that just supersedes everything. But those, see them as God's children. See them as God sees them and intercede for them. See, you know, yeah, you don't like what they do, but you got to see the real cause. You got to see the real cause. And that's in Ephesians 6:12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. They don't know it. And they're being overcome and driven by the flesh. But again, what God is looking at from you and what God is looking at from me is a willingness to release his love on them. See? There you go. And that's how I had that other saying. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. And God is love. So when I release faith, okay, when I release faith through my mouth, that's the only way you can release it, I'm releasing God into the situation. See how that works? God is letting us use his power. He can't get glorified in failure. He's glorified in success. Okay? And I know this. The reason it eluded people for so many years, because none of this, I didn't pick up a new Bible and find it. And it's the same old Bible all of them had. My grandfather understood it. I had some of his commentaries. Fortunately, a flood destroyed them. But I knew that he clearly understood the word. That man confused me, because I would hear people talk about sanctified folk, and they would say he was a Baptist, but I watched him live a sanctified life. I mean, it was. I mean, you knew it when you went in his house. You knew where you was. You knew it was different. That's just automatic. So, with the takeaway on that is, like I say, understand your position and authority in God. It's more than just waiting to pray when you need a new car, need a house. Listen, you know what? Get involved with God. Delight yourself in the Lord. Get to that place where it's easy for you to commit to serve God, and he will give you. Now, I heard a preacher misquote this. I ain't an English major, but in Psalm 34:7, he says he'll give you the desires of your heart, not the desires for your heart. He won't tell you what you should have. See, that's that narrow thinking, but I ain't going to even get into that. Because, again, the criteria for anything goes right back to what are the criteria for the promises of God. Amen. So, with that, we're going to go to, before we close, we'll go to the number one criterion. That is, you have to have a covenant relationship with God. And I have to say, God made it so easy that a child could do it. All it takes is faith. Not feeling, but faith. You have to believe this when you say it. So, and if you in Christ and you're coming back to Christ, if you was in Christ and you fell away because Satan came after you, he sent a demon after you. It's warfare. It's spiritual warfare. It's going to happen. Life happens. The fact that you are alive is clear revelation that God still loves you. You don't need more evidence than that. He fully loves you. So pray this prayer with me. Father, Lord God in heaven, I believe that Jesus is your son. And I believe that he died for me. I believe that he died for my sins. And I believe that he rose from the dead and is alive right now. And Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and save me now. And I believe in my heart and I say with my mouth that Jesus, you are my Lord and my Savior, and I am born again right now. And Father God, those that have slipped away, Father God, we ask you right now, you said if we confess our sin, you are faithful and just to forgive us. And we ask you right now for forgiveness, and we believe we'll receive it, and we have full restoration in Jesus' name based on the advocacy of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for it right now. How simple is that? You know, you don't have to do hour-long rituals. You know, I would say somewhere, find a church. The Bible record tell it, the purpose of the church is for this. It's for you to get teaching. Go to a teaching church where they open up the Bible and read from it. Don't just go anywhere. Matter of fact, ask God where to go. Because all pastors are not totally submitted and committed. And right now, in this era of time, you want to be where folks are submitted and committed. Amen. If you're in the Downriver area, I recommend Runner for Christ Ministries on West Side of Drive. And if you're in the Southfield area, I say go to Word of Faith at 9 Mile and Evergreen. If you're in another part of the country, just look for a church. Look for a Christian center. Look for a church where they read the Bible. When you visit, amen, you want to see, I'm going to tell you what you want to see. You want to see opening prayer before when you get in there. Opening prayer, and be there on time. Don't listen, you go to work on time, because they'll fire you. Don't do God less than your job. He the one gave you the strength to do the job, the mind to have the job, and the job. You know, don't treat him like that. Amen. And with that, I will say, amen, praise the Lord. See you next week. And remember, prayer works by faith, faith works by love, and God is love. Shalom.
I'm going hard for my God like I went hard in these streets. Instead of chasing that money, I'm chasing G-O-D. Been trying to walk in this image since I've been forgiven. Just trying to let my light shine so y'all can see the God in them. I turned away from my old ways, sipping by to the dope gang. Put the guns down, open my mind to some new things. When I picked up that Bible, the devil ain't like it. I know that he mad, but I know Jesus excited. Cause I'm about to grind for him. Make sure he first in everything, give all my time to him. About to save a lot of souls just off of my influence. And no, I ain't a preacher, I'ma do it through my music. It's a wonderful feeling when you let the Lord use you. Feeling like Dietrich Hallow, have your way however you choose to. Just let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm a hustler for the Lord, about to re-up with
it. I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can don't know if go or live in a sin-filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus. Jesus who? Jesus Christ. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you live it wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus. Jesus who? Jesus Christ.
Verse 2 is for those who probably know me from my past. Don't believe that I changed because they knew how I got down. Probably seen me in them strip clubs or serving in them streets. Probably seen me flexing bankrolls or swerving with a freak. I'm a two-time felon, what could the Lord do with me? Ain't nothing too hard for God, you just watch and you gon' see. Because a saint is just a sinner who fell down and got back up again. Devil had me on my knuckles, Jesus picked me up again. Dust me off, told me I should walk this way, talk this way. And any sign of trouble that I had that I ought to pray, I ain't worried no more. I tell you I ain't stressing, man. It's power that I found in God. I tell you it's a blessing. I ain't lying, man. Man, you should try, man. You keep on living by that gun, then you gon' die by it. Man, I ain't lying, man. Man, you should try, man. You keep on living by that gun, then you gon' die by it.
Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus. Jesus who? Jesus Christ. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you live it wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go on living a sin-filled life.
Christ. Man, you need to be like Jesus, Jesus, who? Jesus Christ.
So now you know I'm a changed man. Got a new game plan, but I still rock, bust icy watches and chains, man. The Lord said, come as you are. He love me for me. So all you older church folks, don't judge what you see. God judge up your heart. And since he changed your mind, don't judge before you get to know me. Make me change my mind. Too many youth has left the church because they ain't feel love. The very place that supposed to teach us all that God is love. How can you say you love God but don't show it? When you can love your haters like your brother, then you growing. And man, I'm growing. Growing through his word. Stop trying to do it my way and let God work. And now I'm feeling moving. My blessings keep improving. When I say I'm on the ground for God, you ask me what I'm doing. Well, I'm serving. I'm living for his purpose. Giving praise to his name at all times.
Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can no longer go on living the sin filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus. Jesus who? Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you live it wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go on living the sin filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus, Jesus who? Jesus Christ.